We're going to bring on Mark Pugac, who is from ITV, BT Sport, and BBC Five.
So many hats.
So many things you do, Mark, and you're going to tee up the EPL season for us. It's already here. We're so excited.
Adam, Greg, how are you guys? I'm in the middle of central London. It's a little grayer, as you've probably heard. Our amazing summer has broken a little bit, but Greg will like this. They're still playing cricket about a mile away from me at Lord's.
Is it a test match? Is it a test match, Mark?
It's a test match. It's England v India. Day one was washed out. But yeah, the football season starts. I always at this time of year particularly think of my dear late father, who was a cricket madman, absolute cricket obsessive, didn't mind football. And if I mentioned the football season starting in August, he used to look at me and say, I do not want to hear about football while the test series is still going on. But we have got the football kicking off tonight in the Premier League. Obviously, the championship started last week. But Manchester United and happy Jose Mourinho starting this evening against Leicester.
Is there feeling of hangover still? You did the World Cup coverage from Russia. We talked to you a couple times. It's such a brief break when there is a World Cup, when there is a Euro. It feels like such a short summer for the players, for the broadcasters, but also for supporters. And I do remember starting the 98 fall season, people are still, am I ready to get emotionally invested in my club again after David Beckham's red card? Am I ready to get into the 96 season after Gareth Southgate's penalty miss? How do people in England feel about dispersing, basically, as England fans? And although they'll be trying to qualify, obviously, for the Euros in that weird format, how do they feel about dispersing and getting deep into their own club? Are they ready for it yet? Does it take a few weeks?
I think it takes a little bit of time, but I don't think it takes long because of the excitement generated by what all the clubs have done or have not done. So in other words, if you're a Liverpool fan, I think you've forgotten about England. I mean, it was exciting and it was terrific, but you're so excited by Naby Keita and Fabinho and Shaqiri and obviously Alisson in goal. And is this the year that Liverpool are going to end their drought? If you're a Chelsea fan, you were probably a bit depressed till about a few days ago, but suddenly you've got a new goalkeeper called Kepa and you've got Kovacic, who could be fantastic. If you're an Arsenal fan, you're just intrigued. You know, there's no Arsene Wenger. What's going to happen? And of course, if you support Man City, Mahrez is a brilliant addition. And are they going to go back to back? So I take your point, but I think immediately people go, right, what's the excitement for my club? What are the possibilities for my club this season? And I think people fold very quickly and very easily back into their excitement of the team that they follow every week.
Mark Pugac, ITV, BT Sport, BBC Five Live, full slate on Sports. And by the way, Premier League tomorrow, Man United plays Leicester City at Old Trafford today. So no one's repeated for a long, long time. It's been since Man United in 07 or 08 rather, and 09, and Chelsea was second in both those years. Those are sort of the peak, to me, Mark, the peak years of Cristiano Ronaldo there. This just looks too obvious to everybody. What's the biggest stumbling block besides obviously a whack of injuries for Man City and getting in their way of this?
I think probably just whether Liverpool can find some consistency. Their record actually defensively was better than people might have imagined last season, and now they bought Alisson and they've got a whole season of Van Dijk. So I think most people, myself included, would expect Manchester City to retain the title. As you say, that would be the first time in a decade since Sir Alex Ferguson's Man United. I think the only people who can stop them are Liverpool. I don't see Manchester United. They don't seem quite content enough, really, do they? With all everything that's coming out about Jose Mourinho wanting another centre back, and is Mourinho wanting the more ready-made player, but the Man United board want the more potential that maybe will turn into a great player that either they keep or they sell. Chelsea, they were so average last season, weren't they? Would take a remarkable turnaround in form for them. Tottenham have added nobody, and I think that is a worry, only because I think that the players come Christmas and New Year with no break at all, because so many were concerned about involved in the World Cup. That will be tiring. I think Liverpool, the only team, Greg, that could stop Man City going back-to-back, and I think Man City are so good, I think even that will be just beyond Jurgen Klopp's side.
Mark, there was a record broken during the transfer window, not just from all the money Liverpool spent, but Fulham became the first newly promoted side to spend £100 million in a summer transfer window. Now, that is unbelievable.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's crazy. Incredible.
So how do you expect them to do?
I expect them to be comfortable. I mean, I don't expect them to go down. Put it that way. I don't expect them or Wolves to have to go down. I'm not going to say I have any problems staying up. I really don't. They were so good in the last 4 months, 5 months of the championship season, hence their run, which took them into the playoffs, and then, of course, that they won it. I wonder, my only worry would be maybe buying so many players. They could field the team against Crystal Palace tomorrow of a totally new 11. You know, they bought two goalkeepers, not one. One on loan, and they got Rico from Sevilla. They could field an entirely new team. Is the only worry that maybe destabilise what was a really good championship side, and will they have a problem in gelling? I'm not sure. I think some footballers would argue actually that this will be great for them. I expect them to have a season where they stay up reasonably comfortably, the same with Wolves. And I don't know whether you ever got to Craven Cottage. It's one of the best grounds in the country. It's fabulously old-fashioned. It's tucked up against the River Thames, literally up against the River Thames, one of the stands. The cottage is in the corner. It looks like a glorified cricket pavilion. It's got wooden seats. It's got the funniest, smallest public loos you've ever been into in your life. It is the most atmospheric ground. They've moved the Michael Jackson statue.
Yes, yeah, they have.
Out of place. Fantastic ground. So happy to see them back, and everybody will want to go there as an away fan.
So one of our mutual colleagues, so I've got a trip in early December, and it's going to be Spurs, Southampton on a Wednesday. This is midweek stuff. I can't go on a weekend. And Tuesday, Fulham and Leicester City. But you're going to, and West Ham's at home that day. You would tell me, would you not tell me, Mark Pugac, go to Fulham, not West Ham, on the Tuesday?
Oh, every day. Every single time. Nothing against West Ham.
It sounds like it.
Go to Fulham every single day. Walk through Bishop's Park, lovely, you know, London Park. There's two or three great pubs on the river as well. I think it's called the Swan from memory up there. And what's really interesting, Greg, when people don't realise this, the roads that run up to Craven Cottage off the Fulham Palace Road, they're in alphabetical order. So if you have a look at it, they go A, B, C, D. I'm in a taxi now with Ray, a great taxi driver. That's right, Ray, isn't it?
If I walk into the Swan, shout out, walk in the door and say, I know Mark Pugac. Is that good? Like, I don't want to get glassed. Or should I say I know Roy Keane? Your colleague Roy Keane, if I say I know him, no one's going to mess with me. Because Roy will come back and lay waste to everybody.
Well, he'll just stare at them. All he needs is the stare, and then he'll grow his beard in half. I've never seen a man grow a beard as quickly as
Roy. In like half an hour, right? That's it. Like he's like Homer Simpson when Homer shaves. It grows right back. Thanks, Mark.
No, you've got to go to Craven Cottage.
I will. I'm so jacked now.
Now I got to plan a trip. Hey, Mark, thanks so much.